Throughout my life as a Christian, not only as a priest, but as a Christian, I have found core principles or core sayings or, I don't know what to call them, milestones, whatever they are. But basically insights that have totally changed my life and have been totally guiding principles for my spiritual life. And of course, for those of you who have been listening to me for a while, you inevitably will hear me go back to these core principles because they are what I use in my own life to guide my way through the decisions that have to be made in daily life and try to do that as a Christian. There are several, many of them actually. For example, you've heard me constantly talk about one of my core principles is that you have to live your life for an audience of one. And that one is a capital O. You always have to live it for God first. I constantly referred to the word logos as God being logos, meaning reason, meaning, and purpose. And a lot of my life is formed and directed by the principle that God is meaning, purpose, and reason. A third one, which I would like to bring about today and talk about today because of the gospel, is from the psychiatrist Viktor Frankl, who's another one that I quote consistently. If you perchance have never heard me talk about him, he is a Jewish psychiatrist that survived both Dachau and another internment camp, concentration camp from the Nazis. And after surviving that, when he was, after World War II, and he being freed from the concentration camp, he went on to practice psychiatry, but he used some of the insights that he had gained in the concentration camp. And the main insight that he gained in the concentration camp was the difference in terms of the survival rate between the men in his unit who were 100% self-assured, meaning these were people who were in the workaday world, they came across as self-possessed. They were people who knew who they were, and they were people who didn't believe in anything, just they went ahead and did it on their own. And they seemed strong, except that when it came to the concentration camps, these were the first men to break. They were the first to die because the suffering was so intense that there was nothing, there was no source of hope for them. And so they were the first to succumb. The men, Frankl said, that the men who seemed to do the best were the ones who had a sense of a vision of hope, a vision of purpose that was greater than their present experience of suffering. He, as a Jew, experienced his the presence of God through an image in his head of his wife and of the love that was reflected by her to him. And whenever he just couldn't be handling any more of what was going on around him, he would focus his attention on that image of the glow of love, which is the presence of God, around the face of his wife. And for others, it was different things, but always the commonality was that there was a sense of meaning and purpose outside of his own life. And that, to me, has always been a tremendous source, because it is, I also explicitly feel exactly that way. If when you're going through a period of suffering, you have no sense of any meaning or purpose outside of your own self or confidence in yourself, your chances of making it are not great, because sooner or later the suffering brings you to your knees. I was thinking of that song. What is that? Will you know my name when I see you in heaven? Does anybody remember the name of that song? Tears. What is it? Tears in Heaven. Right. Yeah. Eric Clapton. Yeah. And because there's this line in that song that says that time can bring you down, time can tear you up, time can bring you to your knees. And that is really the case. And if you listen to that song, that Tears in Heaven, it's called, by Eric Clapton, you see how his vision, I understand that was a song that was written about, I think, his son who died when he was a little child, and his desire to have a union with his son who had died. And you can hear in that song the sense of how he is coping. He says in that song that he has to come back. He doesn't belong in heaven. And so he has to continue day by day on this earth. But his longing is to be connected to somebody who's in heaven, even though he can't be there. So even in that song, you see that there is a sense of purpose that is carrying him beyond the suffering that he is experiencing. So what Frankl said, he summed it up in this way. He said, the ultimate human freedom is the ability to choose the attitude or perspective that you will take towards your experiences. Now think about that. The ultimate human freedom is the ability to choose the attitude or the perspective that you will have towards your experiences. I have found that to be 100% true 100% of the time. And I'm going to relate it to today's gospel, because that's exactly what is going on in today's gospel. But if you think about it, in your own daily life, when stuff happens, whatever stuff is, and a lot of the times what's challenging is when stuff that makes you suffer happens, whether it's minor or it's major. Minor all the way down to, I learned this years ago from another book that I read, that when you go out, for example, and you go to a restaurant and you get a lousy meal and you didn't like it, you have a choice. You have a choice as to how you're going to integrate that experience into your life. You're either going to get all angry, and not only do you have bad food in front of you, you're going to make yourself eat it, and then you're going to walk out of the restaurant with your anger, and your evening is entirely ruined, and you choose to be in a bad mood for God knows how long. That's your choice. Or you can say, I got a bad meal. In life, sometimes that happens. And I'm not going to let that experience ruin the rest of my life or the rest of my evening. That's a choice. That's little things. The big things. Okay? I've been a priest a long time. I've seen people go through tremendous trials. And some of those people, the same trial will tear somebody down and make them worse, or it will allow them to become better people. And it's not the trial, it's the attitude, their perspective, whether they have faith or not. It's the way they integrate that into their lives. Now look at what's happening in the gospel, because that's exactly this thing that's happening in the gospel. These two guys, people who love Jesus very much, have seen Jesus be crucified. And from when you hear the gospel, you hear that they were saying, we had hoped that he would be the Messiah, the one who would save Israel. Which means that one of the things about the Messiah was that if they killed him, well, he wasn't the Messiah. And so everybody was feeling disillusioned, and the reading says downcast, because they just, all their dreams and hopes about Jesus had been dashed. And then Jesus starts walking with them. And he says, what are you talking about? And they begin to tell him, are you the only idiot that doesn't know what's going on here? And then Jesus says something very interesting. He says, you, what foolish men you are. Now take that seriously. What's he saying? He's calling their interpretation of the events foolish. He is saying, you are choosing to interpret the events, not taking into account the way that you should be looking at it, which is from the perspective of the scriptures. And so he begins not to change the events. Notice, the events don't change. But what happens is he begins to explain to them the context and the perspective that is the correct interpretation of their suffering. It doesn't make them suffer. It doesn't take away the suffering. The crucifixion still happened. They still don't know who this guy is. But it changes their perspective. And when they take him back to their home, they recognize him. And this is something I learned recently. Have you ever ask yourself in this reading, why does Jesus disappear? I mean, it says there that he sat down at a table, took the bread, broke it, and gave it to them. It's the exact formula of the Eucharist. And then it says he disappeared. And I've always wondered, why did he disappear? Well, why didn't he just stick around and talk? And you know, I heard a scripture scholar who said, because he wanted to teach them. To teach them to get used to recognizing him in the breaking of the bread. And not to seek constantly, I gotta grab you here. What are we doing today here? We've come for the breaking of the bread. It's exactly the same thing. What Jesus was trying to say is, You need to learn to recognize me in the breaking of the bread. And so what Jesus was doing, though, in terms of this interpretation, I think what he was doing to those two guys was helping to change their perspective. And I just commend that to you. When you, especially when you're going through a bum time, whether it be a little bum time as a maybe a family fight or a bad meal or something like that, or all the way to tremendous suffering, every single one of those occurrences has a perspective that is your choice whether you're going to take or not. If you let something, whatever it is, bring you down to the point that you see no hope, part of that is a choice. And part of that is that you have to change the perspective. Let me end with a true story that has impacted me tremendously. And I'm going to say who this is about, because since they put it on Facebook, I don't think it's private. At WHAM, which is West Houston Assistance Ministries, we support WHAM, we have a new executive director. His name, he's an Episcopal priest, and his name is Mark Brown. Mark is in his late 30s, maybe early 40s, I think. And he's married, and his wife's name is Christy. They're a blended family. But they had one child together, and his name was Judah. Judah, the cutest, one of the cutest little boys you ever want to see. And I just learned this. But last September, Judah drowned in a pool. I haven't asked too much about it. But when I looked up Mark Brown, who's, like I said, the new executive director of WHAM, I saw their journey. I followed them backwards from today and backwards to the day that Judah drowned. And what I experienced in following their Facebook was two people clinging to their faith in the resurrection of Jesus for dear life. I cannot imagine losing a child. I think most of you who are parents know that you'd rather die yourself than lose a child. So to me, this is one of the most ultimate sufferings that there is. But to see the way that they interpreted it, and they made, and there's the their faith did, you can tell it in the Facebook, their faith did not take their suffering away. But it gave it the perspective of hope. And I won't go on and on about this, but Christy, who is Mark's wife, wrote a post. And the post was living, something like this, living permanently, at least on this life, on Holy Saturday. Now think about that. She said, Judah, their little boy, was already experiencing Easter Sunday. But they were existing on Holy Saturday. What happens on Holy Saturday? Jesus is dead. There's nothing, there's no knowledge of the resurrection. Can you imagine what Holy Saturday must have been like for Mary and for the disciples? An emptiness, a sense of confusion, a sense of loss. And yet, Jesus had not risen, so they couldn't even take comfort in that. But then afterwards, after the resurrection, when they look back to Holy Saturday, it is and has been transformed by the resurrection of Jesus. A day of both pain and hope. And that's what Christy meant when she said they were living, for the rest of their lives, they were living on Holy Saturday. Because their little son had already crossed over into Easter Sunday. That is what Viktor Frankl meant. You take somebody who's had a devastating experience like that, and you take it, and the way that the Christian faith is supposed to work is that they use that the faith experience of Jesus' resurrection and the reality of the pain of Holy Saturday, and they saw themselves living it through and interpreting the death of their son through the experience of Jesus. That's faith. That's what you do. That's why Christianity, you know, that's when people tell me about that they're Christians because they go to church. I smile. It's all I can do. But being a Christian is about looking at life through the prism of the death and resurrection of Jesus. You see it in these two in the gospel. You see it in the story that I told you about Mark and Christy, his wife. And you see it in many other places where people are given hope by focusing on the love of God, focusing not on their own strength, but being able to do what Frankl said, to choose the perspective that they were going to take towards the experiences that they had. That's what we have. You can choose to let life bring you to your knees, and ultimately, I guess you could commit suicide. Or you can choose to interpret your suffering through the prism of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That's why the stuff that we're talking about is called the good news of Jesus Christ. Thanks for your attention.